For many of you, it started as a childhood dream, maybe even a calling. You'll never forget the day you took the oath, the day you were selected for flight training, that first solo, or the pride you felt when you earned your wings. When you reported to your first operational assignment and joined your squadron, you became part of a family, maybe even started a family of your own. Your first deployment was a combination of nervousness and excitement. Leaving loved ones was hard, but camaraderie was high. You were focused on flying, focused on serving your nation, and focused on the mission you came into the Air Force to do. You returned home to more training, more missions, and more responsibility. Flight lead, IP, right to left seat, aircraft commander, mission commander. It wasn't easy, and it only got more challenging. But still, you continue to serve, competing every day and every sortie to be the best, while looking out for your teammates, your wingmen, your family, and your nation. For being willing to strap on our nation's business, for the sacrifices you and your families have made, and the sacrifices you will make, thank you. We're the best damn Air Force on the planet because of you. And with you, we're only gonna get better.
Welcome to Theater in the Woods. I'm Steve Buss, and it is my distinct pleasure to introduce a very special guest to Air Venture 2019, General David Goldfein. He is the U.S. Air Force Chief of Staff. General.
Yep, right over here. Well, good evening. Or as they say in my home state of Texas, howdy. Well, thank you for the introduction. And how about that video? I wanted to start out by giving you a sense of what it means to serve in your United States Air Force. One of my favorite stories I'll share with you about the possibilities that exist in the Air Force actually took place back in about 2012. I was deployed to the Middle East as the Air Component Commander responsible for all air operations in the Middle East, and I actually followed General Mike Hostage, who's here in the front row. So I'm sitting outside my hooch, and I'm having a discussion with my deputy, Major General Jim Jones, who was there, and my lead commander from Afghanistan, Major General then, Todd Walters, who's now the Supreme Allied Commander for all of Europe. And the phone rings. And I answer, and the operator there at Qatar, which is at Al Udeid Air Base, says, hey, we have a call from the International Space Station, and we're wondering if you would take the call. I said, well, not collect. So it turns out it's a buddy of mine, Colonel Ronnie Guerin, who is the commander of the International Space Station. He says, hey, I'm just flying over Qatar, and I was looking down on you guys, and I thought I'd just call and check in. So I want you to think about that for a minute. Four captains in the United States Air Force at Nellis Air Force Base, one step ahead of the law, and here we are later commanding the air war over the entire Middle East and commanding the International Space Station. Only in America, and perhaps I would say only in your United States Air Force, because you know we do serve alongside some incredibly amazing people, and they do become like family. And together we try to do things to change the world, to make it a better place. So today for me fulfills a bit of a dream. First time at Oshkosh, I've been wanting to come here my entire life. And so to be able to do this on the 50th anniversary is sort of icing on the cake. Because for all of us, aviation is as American as apple pie. And I'm proud to actually stand here as a chief of staff of a service that's a garage startup. Think about that for a minute. Two bicycle mechanics in a garage. Orville and Wilbur Wright, pushing the boundaries of what's possible. Not much different than the tinkerers that I saw here at Oshkosh with all of these new aircraft and equipment. But this week is also about inspiring young people, so I want to share a couple stories and hopefully do a little bit of that. First, I want to share a story of an individual who's going to walk out and be part of the panel. She's the best example I can offer you in our United States Air Force of what a life of service, well-lived, really looks like. This is the story of General Mary Ann Miller. Mary Ann is the first in the history of the Air Force Reserve to pin on the fourth star while actively serving. Not bad for a small town girl from Hilliard, Ohio, that thought ROTC was just the name of a building in her college. She spent 7.5 years on active duty flying C-141s, just knocking out of the park. And just as they told her she was promoted below the zone, which is early, she had already signed up to go into the Air Force Reserves and pursue other passions. So as a civilian, she flew float planes for the Washington State Department of Fisheries, and she was so good at it that they offered her a full-time job for a whopping $17,000 a year. So after surviving on that salary for a while, she decided to go full-time Air Force Reserve. And she became the architect of so much of what is today. You see it on your ramp with the C-5s, the C-1, the C-17s, the aircraft. And she really was the architect of our distinguished visitor mission, working with the President, the First Lady of the United States, while at the same time opening her restaurant in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And it should have been a telling sign, you know, when Secretaries of Defense Panetta and Rumsfeld made it a must-do stop to come eat at her restaurant. So she's not only an exceptional officer and leader and pilot, she's also an entrepreneur. So let's hope this panel doesn't become a shark tank. But let me share this. Probably one of her most important successes is her personal commitment to serving others. Because in her time off, Mary Ann volunteers serving the poorest of the poor, a servant leader, helping the world's most unfortunate souls through Mother Teresa's congregation, the Missions of Charity. That's her experience, a path uncommonly taken, and an officer I greatly admire. She makes me want to be a better man and a better chief every day, and I couldn't tell you how honored I am to serve with her. And I encourage you, after the panel, to ask her about her career. And then one last story I'll share with you before we bring out the panel, which is a story about what servant leadership has meant to me over the years. You may not know it, but it took me a little bit longer than usual to complete the Air Force Academy's 4-year academic program. Let's just say I was not the brightest light in the room. And so I left after 2 years, and I rode my 10-speed bicycle around the country. That's as many speeds as you could get back then, with my trusty dog on the back, Mini Bear. But the story I want to share is not why I left the academy, it's why I came back, and why I'm standing here today before you 38 years later. So truth be told, if my bride of 37 years, my high school sweetheart, were here, I know exactly when I met her because I was in my 3rd year of Spanish 1. Hola. So she would tell you I was not going back. I was going to become a musician. And so I got a job as a roadie for this guy named Harry Chapin. And I hopefully, eventually, I was going to go become a performer. But as I was pedaling my 10-speed bike northeast, he had a tragic accident, and that dream disappeared. So I just kept pedaling. And since I had no particular place I had to go or no particular place I had to be, I had no schedule and no destination. So along the way, I could stop whenever I wanted to, and I met the most amazing people, total strangers, who saw this young man on a bike with a dog and stopped to chat or maybe share a cup of coffee. And it was in Oklahoma that I learned the very important lesson not to just set up my tent anywhere without first checking in with the property owner or the local police. So when it approached evening, I was looking for a place to camp, I'd check in with the sheriff. And this often led to an offer to stay in the local jail if there was an open bed. Better than a sleeping bag on the ground. And it often came with a hot meal and the opportunity to play cards with hardened criminals. Let's just say I didn't win many hands. But I share this story with you because what I was experiencing was America. Incredible citizens who are willing to open their homes to a total stranger. And sometimes when I pulled into a town, I'd try to find the local library. I figured since I never went to it at the academy, I better figure out what these library things were all about. So when I walked in, I'd ask the librarian to help me understand the history of the town. And this often led to her to make a call, and the elderly residents of the town would come over and they'd tell me a story, because every town in America has a story. And one night I remember being in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and I had to call back the academy because it was decision time. And they asked, are you coming back? Or do we stamp your resignation letter and call your academy journey complete? And I told them, if you'll have me, I'd like to come back. Because I'd met the citizens of this country that we are sworn to defend, and determined on my own that they are more than worthy of our service and sacrifice.